1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
Here we go, our side chatters, drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and swinging low sweet chariot in sunny San Diego. I'm sure you know by now, but I'm Greg Carlwood, and as we carefully compile and construct our big conspiracy puzzle from the minimal pieces the powerful puppet masters have let slip through the cracks, we sometimes stumble upon a crucial component that brings us a deeper understanding and a newfound clarity on some of these themes we've been discussing for years, and I think today could be one of those days. Because in the past few months, one of the most requested topics has been an examination of the Rh negative blood type and the can of worms that comes with it. The subject seems to be buried pretty deep within the conspiracy onion, but I have found someone who's dedicated a large portion of his research to gathering information on this piece of the puzzle, not only to better understand the broad picture, but also to gain personal insights because, of course, he is one of these anomalous people himself. He's the Outlaw Jimmy Jones, man behind OutlawJimmy.com, where you can find his research and writings on a whole host of conspiratorial topics and a section dedicated to what he's learned about this rare Rh negative quality. It's an interesting thread for sure, and I'm honored to have him here to pull it. Jimmy, my man, welcome to THC.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know you haven't done a ton of interviews, so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I think this is really interesting stuff that will probably be new for a lot of people. And I guess to get the ball rolling here, if you wouldn't mind, can you kind of explain to the people what we're talking about when we say Rh negative blood type for those who haven't stumbled upon this yet?
Well, basically, it's as you know, blood comes in groups. You got A, B, A, B, O. But not a lot of people know that there are positive and negative factors to this blood, which means basically they're not in any way compatible. You know, for example, the rhesus negatives can donate their blood to anybody, but if anybody donates positive blood to a neg, it'll basically make them really ill or kill them.
Mm.
And nobody can explain this. Scientists can't explain it. The medical business, you know, the medical trade can't explain it. Nobody can explain why this anomaly happens. All they say is it's an alien concept that just doesn't fit with any known genetics on this planet, you know?
So Rh stands for rhesus, as in the rhesus monkey, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's the rhesus factor, because they did the experimenting on rabbits and rhesus monkeys, which is where they basically found it in 1937. They discovered it in 1937. They were working on it. Two German scientists actually discovered it, you know. It's a guy called Alexander Weiner and Karl Landsteiner were working on it, and they actually established it, because up until that time, there was a lot of children, known as blue babies, being born, and they couldn't work out why so many children were born with this condition. And it worked out that it was a total incompatibility of blood types between males with rhesus negatives and females with factors were different.
Right.
And they just couldn't understand why human beings of the same species were not compatible.
That is really odd. So how did you come to discover you were one of these people in the club?
Well, from a very early age, I realized I was different. I thought differently. I always thought outside the box, and I felt a bit of an outsider. And, you know, I puzzled over it for many, many years. And when I finally actually donated blood, same as you do in the US, they actually told me then. And they were sending for me to give blood like 4 or 5, 6 times a year. And it was really stressing how important it was that they saw me and stuff. And so I thought, wow, you know, but no, because it's normally twice a year. But then, you know, some weird shit has started happening ever since I give blood, basically.
Wow.
Almost like I feel I've been targeted from a very early age. For example, if I can elaborate on that a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. The personal story is probably an example of the larger picture for other people who've discovered they have this.
Because it's odd, because the things that happened to me 30 years ago, I'm finding now via the internet, it happened to other people of the same blood type.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Throughout the world.
Huh.
You know, for example, on my Facebook page, 95% of the people who follow me now are rhesus negative.
Hmm.
Without being asked, they just automatically draw together, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems to be happening throughout the world. These rhesus negatives are all coming together. They can't understand why, but they're sort of mutually attracted, and they think about the same things. They see things the same way, and just nobody else can see things in the same way they do. It's quite bizarre. But in primary school in this country, you call it kindergarten in the US, I believe, yeah?
Right.
This is going to seem a bit way far out for some people, like, but it happened, and I was around about 4 or 5 years old, and three people came to the school, and they selected two children from the school to go into a different room with them, and they showed them a series of picture cards, and basically they were asked what those pictures meant to them, and that was it, basically. Huh. But I always remember it, because one of the pictures was what we now perceive to be aliens, yeah, grey, you know, greys?
Yeah.
And this was in 1967, and I never ever heard anything about it ever again, and the other person who was actually selected was who I've actually got in contact with since and said, yeah, well, it turns out they're rhesus negative as well. But I've told this story to so many people, and people have said, well, yeah, that happened to me.
Hmm.
Exactly the same way. These three people dressed in black, even had dark glasses on. We're talking the 60s, mind you. Just randomly selected less than a dozen children from the whole school and give them these cards to look at and marked their answers, and that was it. They never heard no more of it. And all those people, every one of them I've spoken to who have had this happen to them, feel like they've been targeted throughout their lives.
Wow. So some things changed after you gave blood. Once you found out you gave blood and you found out you were rhesus negative, what happened from that point? Anything significant?
Yeah, I started getting a lot of attention from the authorities. I lost my job. I was suddenly dismissed from my job.
Wow.
And then I kept getting picked up when I was driving. I kept getting, you know, just picked up and searched and arrested for no apparent reason and let go. This happened for about a year solidly. And like every time, you know, I applied for work, I was always turned over. Even when I tried to find a flat or a house or an apartment, it was always like, just gone, or we can't help you today. It was almost like I was totally shunned. Wherever I went, it was quite bizarre.
Damn. So what percentage of the population is rhesus negative?
Well, if you listen to the official figures, they say 15%, but there's no way anywhere near that. It's more like 7% of the world's population.
Wow. So if there is an orchestrated campaign against these people, it would only be affecting 7% of the population. So it could kind of go under the radar.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Because there's a hell of a lot of things coming to light now, you know, with thank God for the internet, which is basically the powers that be's worst nightmare, because people are now getting together and sharing information that they would have no way been able to access before, you know?
Right.
And the stuff that's coming to me now is basically rubber stamping everything that I've been looking into for the last 30 years, and it's everywhere, and it's people are having the same experiences, they're even having the same thoughts, the same dreams, that you know, you even got the same sort of friends. And it's really, really strange. And to someone who isn't of that type, it's very difficult to understand. It's almost as if people say, oh, you're mad, you know, there's some, you know, which is the classic attack, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
You know, you're insane, you know?
Classic distraction from the real situation. So let's talk about the characteristics or the differences between Rh negative people and the rest of us. What sets you guys apart?
Well, physically, not a lot, apart from having extra ribs.
Extra ribs. Yeah, I've heard extra vertebrae, too. Is that true?
Extra vertebrae. I know this is not in particular, but it's higher than the average IQ. They're normally off the scale on most IQ tests. They got very, very heightened senses, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They normally got poor eyesight, but extremely powerful hearing.
Interesting.
If we have any medical examinations, we always show at lower body temperature, lower blood pressure. 99.9% of them either got blue, green, or hazel eyes. All of them have got red hair. Very sensitive to light and heat. And they've all recorded instances where they've seen UFOs or have had some sort of visitation in their life.
Wow. All of them have reddish hair.
Yeah, all reddish traits, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Which is the main problem, really, because, as you know, red hair has always been demonized throughout history, yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you go back to prehistory, because this rhesus negative goes back to Ramesses, yeah? Ramesses in Egypt, because he was the first recorded person as having red hair. And before the powers that be sort of got their foothold into everything, they were, mankind as a race, were very, very, very peaceful nation. You know, they lived in harmony with nature, and they were quite good, but they worshipped the female. Mm-hmm. Everything, everything was created around the female, and they even used the calendar was for 13 months, not 12. Yeah,
right.
Some people they weren't happy with that, because they realized that women were in tune with the moon, the lunar. This is where the lunar calendar came in, yeah. And everything around that was 13 months, which also is also the menstruation cycle of a woman, is 13 months.
Hmm.
And so obviously that was a bit much for people. So they basically started demonizing. They started bringing the men forward, and they changed the calendars back to 12 months. And then 13 actually became an evil number. It's still unlucky to this day. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was when they started targeting the redhead people, because the redhead people were the seers. They were the healers. They were the teachers. So they become pushed out slowly over generations. This is why the red hair became very unpopular. It's almost an insult in this country now to have red hair. This is going back to Ramesses. Yeah, they were always demonized because of the powers they held within them. And all rhesus negatives have red hair, or, you know, they're prone to red hair.
Interesting. So talking about like where this might have started, has anyone been able to trace the Rh negative bloodline back to any specific geographical locations?
Geographic location, yeah, the Middle East. Basically the Middle East. But all that science, because I've even had science, you know, I've been in touch with hematologists, you know, we talk, you know, professors, really, really top people in their field. And basically all they will say, they'll only commit themselves to rhesus negative only appeared on the earth 30,000 years ago.
Hmm.
There's no trace of it before them, and they don't know where it came from. But the main train of thought at the moment is basically that it came from one of the lost tribes of Israel.
Interesting.
Tribe of Dan.
Sorry, what was that?
The tribe of Dan.
The tribe of Dan.
Yeah, they were one of the lost tribes.
Is there any connection to the Khazarians?
Absolutely. You know the story of Cain and Abel?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Cain, because they always, and there was something, when Cain was cast out, he became part of the tribe of Dan, and he was given a mark, and an indelible mark on him that would mark him out wherever he went. He would leave a mark, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The marker of the tribe of Dan is the red hair, the rhesus negative blood type, yeah? It's also known as the marker of the new Jew.
Hmm.
Because even going back, in the middle of last century, we all know about the Second World War and Adolf Hitler targeting the Jewish people, yeah?
Right.
People think he was targeting the Jews for the religion. He wasn't. From what I found out, he was actually targeting the blood group.
The rhesus negative.
Because he wanted a pure Aryan nation, yeah? And the rhesus negatives just didn't fit in with what he was planning. So he was targeting the blood groups. It's been known, because most, I think the majority of genuine, proper Khazarian Jewish people are rhesus negative.
Wow, man.
Which takes you on to the 13 ruling families, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, this...
We're all rhesus negative.
This connects to a lot of different things. Yeah. Something we've been talking about a lot lately is how in the ancient past, the calendars have been messed around with to kind of get us out of sync.
Yeah.
And now here we are talking about, you know, having a more female-oriented cycle, more in tune with nature, and then stamping that out, which seems to be the case.
And it's happening today. You know, you've got the ruling families, you've got the Astor, the Bundys, the Collingers, Rockefellers, Rothschild, the Van Deens, the Lees, the Kennedys. They're all the same blood group, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They will not marry outside. They will not even breed outside their own blood type. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, like most people think that's racist, but that's not. That's called racial purity, right? It's nothing to do with race. It's about the blood. Same with the Red Indians in your country, you know, the old blood brothers. Do you know what that was about?
Mm-mm.
Well, because basically it's a very strange concept, and no doubt people will disagree with this, but I've actually done this myself. The Red Indians used to recognize each other. They used to slash across their hand and shake hands, and they used to look at the blood, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If the blood separated, They weren't of the same tribe. And that's the property of rhesus negative blood. It will not mix, even in a Petri dish, it will not mix. It'll separate from rhesus positive blood. That's how they recognize each other.
Wow. I never knew that.
Do you remember the film The Thing? Remember with Kurt Russell?
Mm-hmm.
When they were doing the experiments with the blood and he put the hot needle in and the blood jumped out.
Yeah.
That is what it's based on. Yeah. That's why he said he was an alien, because it's alien. It doesn't fit any evological path. No evolution. It doesn't fit any evolutionary trait whatsoever. They cannot, there's nowhere else, no other animal, no other plant, nothing in nature fits it.
Wow,
it's totally, one of the top scientists in the UK has actually told me it's an alien concept. He cannot explain. The only thing you can say of it's alien to this planet. He would not elaborate on that, but that's all he would say.
So
it doesn't fit.
I mean, this Indian tradition and some of these older ideas, it seems like there was a time where people were more clued into this information and that it had a significant purpose in recognizing the blood types of your tribe. Do you think that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a marker. Because I don't know, do you read your Bible? Because the Bible, a lot of it is obviously hokum, but a lot of it is actually based on these ancient legends, you know, especially because, like, especially in the beginning in Genesis, where it says that the gods, because the actual wording of the Bible wasn't God, it was gods, plural, yeah? And they believe that there was a species on this planet before man came, and they were created almost like genetically,
right,
for some purpose, and they were actually interbred with these gods. They weren't, it wasn't a god, it was the gods. That's what the Bible is basically taking you away from. It's telling you there's one God, one religion, but it's not. These gods were, there were a lot, they're different. You know, this is where all the colors in the world come from, because when these things were actually engineered, they weren't all the same design. They were all different colors and shapes and houses, you know.
Uh-huh.
Nobody can ever explain why there's so many different colors on the planet. And it's basically because they were all modeled on what was here first, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it does jive with the ancient aliens theory.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why the rhesus negative anomaly? Do you think that was one that has more Anunnaki blood or more of this creator's blood?
They call them gods, but I don't think they're gods. They are creators. They were a race, you know, because, you know, there's so much evidence that in ancient history, and there's archaeological evidence evidence to prove that man has been on this planet a lot longer than what people are telling us, yeah?
Right.
So there was a civilized nation far, far, way before the ancient Egyptians. We're talking thousands of millennia backwards. And because Egypt is where the key of everything is, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because that is basically where all the knowledge of the world is emanated from that part of the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's because like even you got the US Army and you got the British Army, you know, are sort of storming into Iraq, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they're not telling people is the fact that there's something in Iraq that they want, and it's nothing to do with oil. They have found something there that there's no way they can allow it to come. They found something that's resembling almost a Stargate, yeah?
Right, I've heard that.
And that's what they're there to protect, because they know that is the difference, because people are thinking, you know, flying saucers in the air now. A lot of that is bullshit, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But there is interdimensional things going on, yeah?
Right, and you had mentioned that it seems like all the rhesus negative people experience the alien abduction phenomenon or have some interaction with something non-human.
Absolutely, yeah. They almost like as children, because a lot of us remember as children having visitors in the night, and they were friendly, they were benign, they were there, they were watchers, they were guides, they weren't anything horrible. They were watchers, and they didn't resemble human. They were human shaped, but they weren't human. And most rhesus negatives have probably seen these throughout their lives, and they slip in and slip out. They just slip in and slip out. They don't use doors or windows. They just slip in and slip out, and they come in through various portals throughout the world. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And these are the creators. They are the ones who are actually responsible for everything. They made us.
Now, are they the Greys, or do the Greys just kind of work for them?
The Greys are a fallacy, in my opinion. I don't see it's true, but the Greys were actually, that came up after Roswell, because the Roswell incident was you know, it was, there's stuff coming out hopefully very soon about Roswell to show that the whole thing was basically a gift. The Roswell craft was a gift to humanity, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
To say, look, this is who we are, but you must let the world know who we are, or you will suffer the consequences. Because the craft that was discovered wasn't actually discovered in Roswell, was it? It was discovered in a little town called Truth or Consequence. The town was named after it. And because the American government decided to hide away everything and not release it, said it was a weather balloon, humans now have now got to face the consequences of keeping it a secret. And within the next, probably in my lifetime and yours, Greg, we will know where we came from.
That would be amazing. Of course, every week we're trying to get a little closer to that truth. And I think this rhesus negative thing is a big piece of the puzzle. I'm really curious about these lifelong campaigns of interactions with some kind of watchers. I mean, do you think this is a separate campaign from what, say, the governments and the elite are doing? Or are they working in conjunction or opposition?
The watchers are good. The watchers are here. They've actually sent people. When I say, I'll say to the planet. They're from the planet, but they're not. They're from a different dimension of the planet. They've actually sent a race of children. They've done it throughout history. It started off in the 1900s, and the last crop were born around about the 2000s, called the Star Children. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And basically they're here to restore the balance to the planet. Yeah, and these kids. They've all been diagnosed with very, because if you notice, I don't know what it's like in the US, but in this country, we've had an absolute epidemic of something called ADHD, yeah?
Yes, they say that.
Yeah, and most of those children are these star children, and they basically demonize them and categorize them as having these mental problems, because they don't behave as normal children do, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I've heard indigo kids is also a term, I think, used for that.
Indigo kids, yeah. Much the same thing, but there's all, you know, they come in different, massive wave come over in the 1960s. I mean, there were thousands upon thousands of children being born.
Hmm.
And all of these children, to a man, don't believe that their parents are their parents. They feel like they're not from this planet, and they basically cannot relate to anybody in their own family. They don't feel they belong there, but it's thousands of these children, they're now adults, they're in their 40s and 50s throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now all getting together and thinking, wow, so I'm not unusual. This happened to other people, and there's a hell of a lot of people coming together. I think this is what they're talking about, the great revelation. No, this is coming, and the powers that be are absolutely going berserk trying to stop it.
Yeah.
This is enlightenment. This is enlightenment. Forget about heaven and hell and the God and the Bible. This is real, real enlightenment.
Well said. And a lot of people who are writing about this rhesus negative issue, they also bring up fertility between the negative and the positive blood type people, which is kind of important because a lot of this is about genetics and bloodlines.
Yeah.
Is there any significant issues with breeding between the blood types of negative and positive?
Two negatives, no problem at all. They can have as many kids as they want with no problems whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
A positive man and a negative female can only conceive a child once. After that, she has major problems. The body, the woman, the rhesus negative female will actually reject it. And it's the only incidence, again, in nature where that happens. It actually rejects the fetus. So they use a little intervention called Rogam, which is derived from rhesus negative blood to stop this happening. It's just not compatible. They can't explain it. You know, they've been studying it for years and, you know, for decades, and they just can't explain it.
Wow.
And there's another little anomaly. Do you know the HIV cure that they've now got?
I hadn't heard they had a cure for HIV.
Well, they've got a treatment for it. That's also derived from rhesus negative blood, because rhesus negatives are another strange breed where there's certain diseases, certain viruses they cannot develop. HIV is one of them.
Interesting. So
absolutely.
A positive man and a female, or a positive man and a negative woman can have a kid once, but a negative female and a positive man, can they never have kids?
Well, they can, but it takes medical intervention to do it.
Right. Just, yeah, they, of course.
They need a Rogam shot, what they use in America, yeah?
Hmm.
Because that's the only thing. Because if that child would not develop naturally, the woman would basically, it would, you know, it'd reject it. the body would just reject it. It sees it as an alien invader.
Yeah. We've touched on so many things already. I mean, so much of conspiracy history, royal families, alien abductions, World War II, it's all about genetics. And it seems like this could be a big reason why.
Oh, absolutely. They know it. This is why, you know, they're now operating a crash, you know, a scorched earth program. They're literally rewriting history in front of your eyes now, because they know when this stuff starts coming out about, because, you know, they say about these things in history, you know, the greatest secret in history. The greatest secret, I think, in history is where we actually came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if humankind actually woke up and knew where they came from, everything would change.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Religion would collapse overnight.
Agreed.
Seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you there. So if people with your negative blood type don't have the rhesus monkey gene, is there some other type of gene? Because I guess we're supposed to assume that people who do have the rhesus monkey gene were somehow derived from the rhesus monkey, either via evolution or facilitated advanced evolution by some other being, maybe engineered, but based off that, is there a different basis for people who don't have the rhesus monkey gene?
Basically, it's Neanderthal genes, isn't it? It's Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon genes. They were two separate species, and that's because one sort of came along, Cro-Magnon came along after, didn't he? And he sort of wiped out the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they reckon the Neanderthal, the first humankind were all rhesus positive people. Then suddenly the rhesus negative just appeared from nowhere and sort of were higher of it. They were less ape-like. They were more advanced. And not saying they were, you know, really, really far advanced, but they were far more able to do things. And
yeah.
So this is why they dominated, and the Neanderthals actually became wiped out because they were more simian, they say, yeah, because they say that the rhesus positives are, no disrespect, but are more, their background is more simian than the rhesus negatives,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody shares traits with certain other animals, you know, and it's just the Darwin theory was as it was. It was a theory. It was no fact at all in it. There's no Darwin descended from apes, because, you know, if all of humankind descended from apes, why didn't the apes actually progress? Why are they still apes? You know, it doesn't fit.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I'm really curious, because it's like this, it seems like we can trace this back geographically to the Middle East, but it's like these differences seem pretty great. I mean, higher IQs, more susceptibility to psychic and intuitive abilities. It seems like a big part of that ancient alien story is us having mixed genetics with whoever these overlords were. It either seems like people of a negative, rhesus negative, either have more of that in them or maybe a different origin altogether. But it's like, I wonder if they have an origin that's off-world, or if all this manipulation happened here.
Well, we will know, but at the moment, I have to say we don't know. Because, you know, I don't think anybody who's got a brain can actually dismiss the fact that in the vastness of the galaxy, we are the only inhabited planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's got to be something else out there, and they've got the ability to get you a lot easier. And I think they've been here a long time anyway. But I'm more of the theory of that there's actually, you know, they are here anyway, and there are various ways of getting here, and and they don't use flying saucers. They're actually here anyway, you know.
Yeah, on a different frequency or wavelength.
Because, you know, these UFO sightings, most of them are probably the U.S. government that are doing stuff. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
These people are powerful. Yeah, I say people because they are humanoid, but they are powerful. You know, they've given us warnings throughout history to show who they are and what they can do, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Tunguska in 1908, yeah?
Yeah.
In Russia.
For the people who haven't, what happened there?
Well, basically, something happened there. They can't explain, they don't know. Well, basically, there was an explosion that flattened 55,000 square miles of forestry. There was nobody hurt, nobody harmed at all. Basically, these trees were just flattened.
Yeah.
And they couldn't explain it. There was no radiation found there. There was nothing. It was just, something happened. It just bombed. That was basically a show of power, yeah?
Definitely.
Say, look, this is what we can do. You really need to start becoming more aware and, you know, start listening. It's like when the A-bomb was dropped on Japan, yeah? That's when UFO sightings started happening more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
because that was a way of saying, oh, look out, they found the matches. Now we need to stamp on this. Like, because Roswell happened 47, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Just after the war. All, you won't find many incidences of UFOs recorded before they dropped the A-bomb, because that meant the humans now became a threat to other planets. They weren't a threat to themselves. While they were a threat to themselves, they were ignored. But when they started playing with splitting the atom and cold fusion, that's when things started happening. And they were basically, people were sent here to say, like, you need to, you want to destroy yourselves, fine. But the power you have now harnessed is dangerous to other people. And we're not having it, basically. Yeah.
Right. Especially if there's some multidimensional beings occupying the same three-dimensional space.
Absolutely.
A lot of researchers also suggest that there are lineages of humanoids that have outlasted even us and have been living underground since, you know, the previous cataclysms. Maybe they have lived underground and maybe come up to manipulate the surface world in some regards.
See, though, that actually makes sense, because another trait, I didn't actually, you know, cover that. Another trait of rhesus negatives is, and it's a medical fact, this can be checked, they utilize oxygen in different ways, yeah?
Really?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This is why no smoking cigarettes, yeah? It affects rhesus negative people far more than rhesus positives, right? Because they utilize oxygen differently, actually. And the only way you can describe the way they utilize oxygen is if they live in a subterranean world, yeah?
Wow.
It's where the lizard theory came from. Have you heard of David Icke, yeah?
Oh, of course.
He says about the lizards, you know, ruling the world and that, yeah?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Well, that actually came from the Carpathian Mountains, where there was a group of rhesus negatives that were there. They were actually living in caves underground.
Wow.
Because we actually function better with less oxygen. Because you find rhesus negatives. Most of the groups of rhesus negative people on Earth live at high altitudes or below sea level. And they handle the less oxygen better. And that actually fits with the theory that they originally were subterranean.
Wow. And also, you mentioned the sensitivity to light. That jives with that as well.
Exactly. That's another thing that shows, you know, they come up blinking from the Earth, didn't they? It all fits. And this is where the lizard theory comes from. Because we have lower blood pressure and lower heart rates, so have reptiles.
Right.
And so David Icke throws the theory in about lizards to frighten people. They're not shapeshifters. They're not lizards. They just, because with another thing about rhesus negatives, they've got a very high copper content in their blood, yeah?
I've heard that too.
Well, copper content is one thing copper is really good at, is conducting electricity. And you'll find with a lot of rhesus negatives, especially rhesus negative females, when they first start, you know, when they first hit puberty, a lot of strange things happen around them, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Electrical anomalies, yeah? Lights start going off, or lights, but as they walk past street lights, they either blow or go off.
Wow.
That's to do with the copper in the blood, you know? And so, and also with copper, they're very attuned to things. This is why the ESP stuff comes in, because they're channeling all this stuff, and it comes through copper a lot better than iron, which is in the rhesus positive blood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very highly attuned, you know? A lot of these rhesus neck kids will have imaginary friends, yeah?
Yeah.
But they're not imaginary; they're real. Only they can see them. It's the copper. And again, see copper. If we leave copper out for long, what color does it go?
Blue.
Blue and green. This is another thing where they say this is where the lizard stuff come from again, because a lot of rhesus negatives, because they've got such a high copper content, the blood, when it's actually spilled on the floor, will actually turn bluey green.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's the copper content, yeah? But again, doctors will just dismiss it as, well, that's absolute rubbish, but I've actually seen it. We're of a type of person where you don't get any help from doctors, you don't get any help from the scientists, so you experiment on yourself, yeah?
Damn.
So you put these things, you do it yourself, and you think, wow, and you can actually witness this thing happen in front of your eyes, yeah? A doctor says, no, it's absolute rubbish, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're the experts. Of course, blue bloods are considered to be the royalty and the elite. That's a meme that's gone on for some time. I guess this is the origin.
Well, yeah, well, they actually, well, you know, they prove beyond doubt now that the royal family of England, they're all rhesus negative, yeah? And they also find it's nothing to do with the religion. They say they won't marry Catholics. That's rhubbish. They just will not marry a rhesus positive.
Right.
They want to keep the bloodlines pure.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I mean, well, if you consider these qualities, these characteristics that are pretty extraordinary, you'd want to keep that intact if mixing around would kind of muddy the waters. But it's funny that they they preach multiculturalism to us and then practice arranged marriages and pure bloodlines.
Yeah. Well, from what I found out, what I've been saying, and multicultural, what they call it, multiculturalism in the US, yeah?
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, basically, that's basically to dilute the blood.
Mm-hmm.
They want everybody the same color. So if they interbreed with all the different races, it basically end up in the. But basically, imagine a child in school, yeah,
mm-hmm.
doing a painting. The sky will be blue, the grass will be green, and the sun will be yellow, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get one kid who will basically mix all the colors together and he'll end up like a brown color, yeah? That's what they want.
Yeah.
So basically, and that basically, when you've got in about three generations when everybody's the same color, they're not going to know where the hell they came from.
Right, I get that. We're already confused enough. And then if you can muddy that up, then no one even knows what origin to trace back. That makes a lot of sense because it's all about ambiguity and confusion. That seems to be their constant campaign, is to push us in the direction of more unknowing.
Because they know that if, like I say, if humankind actually woke up tomorrow and found out exactly what their origins were, whole of history would have to be rewritten.
Right.
Everything would collapse and people would either panic or they'd wake up and every system that's keeping a stranglehold on the planet would panic. They just couldn't keep control anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's also really interesting what you say about, you know, copper and electricity, because I just had a recent guest who talked about the secret sciences of electricity, how it's been kind of marginalized and kept from us. And he was talking about there being a more electrical component to life that isn't even discussed or talked about. You know, we know we're electric beings. You get shocked a couple times a day, but yet we just were told that that system isn't part of our biology. And yet it seems to come into play here with the copper blood.
Well, yeah, look what happened to Tesla. He discovered the secrets of the universe, didn't he? And look what happened to him.
Right, of course.
Died in poverty. That man built a machine that could destroy the planet, and it was the size of a suitcase. You know what I mean? And who got those plans now? The Americans. They've got them all.
Yeah, the shadow state.
They got stuff going on, man, that they could do, you know, like even the computers we've got now are hyper-quick, you know, hyper-threading processors and stuff. That's child's play compared to the stuff they've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've discovered, like, the Anunnaki machine that they discovered a 2,000-year-old computer, didn't they, in Egypt? There's actually, well, it's relics and stuff. You know, we've had this knowledge for eons, but, you know, we're only, but only in the last 200 years have we actually progressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've actually taken giant leaps forward in the last 200 years. We've been on this planet about 25 million years, but only in the last 200 years have we progressed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who is keeping us back? Because the human mind has got a phenomenal capacity, but we don't even use a tenth of our brain capacity. And the DNA, 98% of it is junk. What's that about?
Exactly. They call it junk, but I'm sure there's something there.
It's about to be switched on. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I think what this brain in the skies at the moment, you know, you're well aware of the chemtrail stuff going on in the sky, yeah?
Oh, of course.
Well, a lot of that is affecting people in different ways, and a lot of that is keeping people dumb, because in that there's a lot of aluminium, yeah?
Yeah.
And when you've got aluminium sprayed en masse over a population, aluminium causes, one of the main things it causes is Alzheimer's disease. I don't know about the US, but in this country, you've got an epidemic of it.
Yeah, we do too.
Yeah. It's all comes as a thing. No, it's been sprayed. It's designed, you know, they put the shit in the water to keep us dumb, everything, because
right.
Once people start switching on, it's going to be the end of them. They know that their days are numbered.
Between the water and what's in the skies and what's in the food, there's so many poisons in our culture. And, you know, you can throw vaccines in there. There's so many things. No one knows. We have all this increased problem, all this increased Alzheimer's, increased cancer, increased Asperger's, autism. And we don't know. There's so much, so many different poisons. There could be so many different culprits. They're attacking us from all sides.
It's absolutely, because like it's you know, everybody's talking about this great revelation or this what do they call it, the awakening, where they're going to discover something that's going to change history. But I think they've already discovered it, and mm-hmm. they discovered something. I think it's going to take the form of a virus, Greg. Yeah.
Yikes.
They're going to find it probably Antarctica, somewhere like that. They're going to discover some relic. Yeah. It's going to change history. But this relic is going to contain something like a virus, and it's going to wipe out probably 90% of the world's population, yeah?
Well, what if they have a virus targeted just for specific genetics?
I know they've got one targeted for specific blood groups.
Right.
They can do it from the air because don't forget, you got all the elite ruling families in this country all share the same genetics, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if they put something in the air that's only going to target people of not of that genetic makeup, job done, yeah?
Of course. Yeah, that's definitely security right there, just knowing that it won't affect you or your elite family.
Yeah, well, you know, mankind are the only ones who can weaponize viruses. Can't you? No other species actually uses viruses to wipe other people out.
No. It seems like a dangerous game to be playing.
Because there was a rumor on the internet a few years ago about they discovered something, and this thing was only going to target rhesus negative people, and everybody else was going to remain unaffected. And they said that 20% of them were going to die, but the remaining 80% of them, what was left, were going to be sort of switched onto some really super being, all their DNA sort of going to wake up. And that was going through all the American websites. You know, Alex Jones even covered it for a while, this rumor that was something to do with Russia. The Russians had discovered some artifact in Antarctica. And it was going to target specific people. But the ones it didn't kill, it was going to wake up and become almost like super beings. You know, their DNA was going to switch on. And it's interesting, isn't it, the kind of stuff. But behind a lot of these stories, there's always something, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, they could definitely put a specific chemical in chemtrails or a virus to target just rhesus negative. Even vaccines, you know, they could tell you that vaccines, oh, well, they're largely safe and they're necessary, but they're going to cause autism in a small percentage of people. Mm. And, you know, their whole campaign could be just to affect those people. The whole purpose of it could be just to screw up the minds and the chemistry of those that are different.
Absolutely, you are. Different. I think the word is different. I don't think there's nothing elitist about the blood type that we got. It's different. That's all it is. It's not special. It's not better than anybody else's. It's just different, and it doesn't fit. And basically, we're looking for answers. You know, we want to know where we fit into the grand scheme of things. You know, but people see that as some sort of elitist view, but it's not.
Right.
Everybody wants to know where they come from.
Why can't you accept that there's people that are different than you without needing to wipe them out or enslave them? You know, it's just different. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
They're absolutely terrified of them. They fear them. You know, I wrote something about it actually the other day on the blog. It basically was science cannot explain us. Medicine cannot categorize us. Theology does not even recognize us. And most people simply cannot explain us.
Hmm.
We do not fit into any known evolutionary template, nor do we fit in with the greater majority of humankind. We are tracked and monitored from birth. We are studied, feared, adored, and loathed in equal measure. We are unique. Nowhere else in nature will you find a species like ours, one that physically rejects all other blood types but its own. Nor will you find another species whose females naturally reject a fetus which carries another blood type. They see it as alien. We can donate our blood to all, yet to receive any but our own type will cause untold disease and death in us. Mm-hmm. We are nature's outlaws. That's the way I look at it. That's what my website is named after.
I love it.
It's always been seen as an outsider. I've always been seen, most people of my type have always been seen as an outsider. We feel outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
We're getting together now via the internet, and but I'm also finding all the people who have been, you know what you mean by trolled online, yeah?
Yeah.
And having all these problems, I think the vast majority of these are rhesus negatives because, you know, obviously because I write the site and stuff, I get contacted by a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and they say, I can't think of why these people are doing this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we get talking, and it turns out they're all rhesus negatives. And it's almost like a gang stalking because there's total strangers coming up and doing things, you know, and it's really bizarre, but it's too much of it going on for it to be just a coincidence, you know, especially
right.
when all these people share the same blood type. It's just too much, you know, I don't believe in coincidences because I believe that everything has a purpose, yeah?
I hear you, man. And this is fascinating stuff. And we're getting close to wrapping this thing up. I did want to bring up that, you know, you mentioned in the very beginning that ever since this was realized that you were one of these people, it seems like you've been marginalized and had a lot of campaigns against you. Well, it seems like right around the time of us scheduling this interview, your website has become the victim of a lot of attacks and a lot of security problems and worms and Trojans, right?
I got to rewrite my whole site, yeah. I got to basically back it up and switch to a new horse because he was getting attacked.
Right.
Because basically the worm that was sent to the system actually brought down a bank in America, and it's actually, they had to basically unplug the server because this thing was nasty. They said they haven't seen anything like it outside the military.
Wow.
But my site isn't that popular. I get like 1,200-1,500 hits a day. It's not groundbreaking. But I'm ever since I started it, I've been attack log, which is, I don't know why. I'm no threat to anybody.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I've been looking at your site and getting ready for this interview. And then just recently, like yesterday, I popped on and I was like, whoa, it's all different. The colors are different. The format's different. And then, of course, you have several posts explaining it.
Yeah, I had to rewrite the whole thing because it was basically trashed. The whole database was wiped.
Hmm.
And my provider said, well, I'm sorry, we just don't know how it just happened at 4 o'clock in the morning. As soon as I logged on, the whole system crashed.
Man.
But it's good now. It's okay now.
On top of stuff like that, have you had any other weird instances of talking out about this stuff and then kind of just having that go by the wayside?
Yeah. Well, as a family, we've been stalked. We've been watched constantly.
Hmm.
And we know that because the people who are doing to us are actually putting it up on YouTube.
Like, what are they putting up there?
Just us walking down the street or getting into the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, tell me about it. But when we actually show because we actually had to go to the police about it because it got so bad. And the police tried to access it and it had been wiped.
Huh.
So we had to give them our own copy of it. Yeah, and it's very weird stuff, you know, because my kids have said there's been people sitting outside the school watching them. Yeah, wearing clown masks and things, you know.
Oh, my God. Are your kids negative?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got two crystal children. Yeah, yeah. A pair of them. Yeah, they both ain't eggs, yeah.
Wow. Have they ever brought up to you and the idea of seeing watchers or anything?
Oh, absolutely. My daughter used to, she had an imaginary friend. Because I used to be a single dad. You see, I brought the children up for the first 5 years of their lives on my own. And she used to go into her bedroom and I used to hear her laughing in the night. And she said, oh, it's my friend Emily. She used to come and see me. But I went into a room one day and there was all graffiti on her bedroom wall. And it was above my head height. And it was all the way around the room. And there was nothing in the room they could have climbed on, like, but she was on her own and all this graffiti. And it was really weird symbology stuff all right across the room, you know. So, and she said, oh, my friend Emily did it, you know. And she's always had things with her. And but she's another one. She can't use any electrical equipment. It'll blow up if she goes near it, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, she can walk past the light. She switches on a light, it'll blow the bulb. So I got to do it normally for her and things, you know.
Man.
Because she's 13 years old now, so she's going through some changes, like, and it's basically blowing, things are going crazy around her, you know. Like, you know the Dodgem cars, like in the fairground, yeah? Do you have them?
The Dodgem, like go-karts?
No, like you go to a fair, they're attached, you drive around them, we call them bumper cars in this country.
Oh, Dodgems. Bumper cars, yeah, we have those.
Yeah. Well, we went into one of those when we were on holiday and she got into it and she started it and the whole thing fused.
Wow. Yeah, because they're tied to the electrical grid above.
The whole ride broke down. Everybody had to get off.
Damn.
And it's always electrical stuff going on, you know, and she sees a lot of things and she's a really clever kid, like really bright, you know, but again, she's another one. She's years ahead of, she's looking at stuff on the internet like that I was in my 30s, I wouldn't know about, you know. They're really, really advanced kids, like, and they seem to be learning at such an accelerated rate, I'm struggling to keep up with them, you know.
Wow. That's
awesome.
And
there's a lot of kids on that. They're the next generation. They're the ones who's going to take us into the light.
Right.
Because because I'm an empath as well, Greg. You know what an empath is, yeah?
A sensitive, like an energetic sensitive?
Yeah, sort of. Like, say, for example, I could be sitting here now. Say some earthquake happens in China. I'll know. I won't even have to look at the news. I will feel it.
Hmm.
But a lot of researchers now see that as well. They know when certain events happen in the world without being told. They feel, it's almost like, you know, the Star Wars thing with the Force, yeah?
Right.
You feel like, it's almost like a ripple.
You got the midichlorians.
Well, I don't know what it is, but you turn the news on and some major event has happened in the world, you know? It's quite, but I'm used to it now, so it's normal for me, you know?
Yeah. Wow, man.
Stuff.
This has been fascinating stuff. You also recently had another, you were going to do another interview that got kind of canceled on you, didn't it?
Yeah, for no reason. He got in touch with me and said, well, we can't go ahead because we've had some anonymous calls to the station saying they're going to sue my sponsors if you come on the show. I said, oh, okay.
Wow. Wow. And see that, see people, that is why you don't have sponsors. I know we had a tough time getting connected too, and I'm sure you were kind of probably getting a bit skeptical that it would happen because of the reoccurring pattern that you seem to be experiencing.
Yeah, I seem to be targeted. Every time I go online, I'm targeted. I probably got more trolls wanting to do me physical harm than anybody else I know, you know, and I've done nothing actually wrong except I'm talking about stuff on my site, you know?
Right. You also ran into some trouble trying to expose a little bit of the pedophilia networks of the elite, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's been a nightmare. I was arrested by the police, you know, because they basically called me a pedophile and stuff, you know what I mean? They,
wow.
All things. And then they tried to get, they say I was abusing my own children and all sorts, you know?
Jesus.
Oh, it's quite crazy because in this country, it's actually gone mad. It's like a massive, massive witch hunt, and they're basically blaming everybody. You know, you got doctors, you got pediatricians, you got social workers. Everybody is being accused of being a pedophile. You know, it's bonkers, like, and it's, and a lot of this is basically a smokescreen to hide what's really happening, you know?
Right. The more people you can accuse, the more people who are actually guilty that'll get lost in the confusion.
Yeah, it's like a scattergun approach, you know? You just basically aim the gun, shoot it, you're bound to get someone guilty, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of that is almost a smokescreen because, like, the pedophilia is bad enough, but I think pedophilia is the very tip of the iceberg of what's going on in this country and in America.
Yeah.
They're hiding it behind the always ritualistic and satanic. I don't think Satan has got anything to do with this. I think this is purely transhumanism, horrible cloning nonsense, all sorts. They just basically want to live forever, these people. They can't accept they're going to die, and they're doing everything they can. And if it means they're taking away children or adults and draining the blood out of them, it's happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's far easier to call them a pedophile, because what can be worse than that, you know?
Right, of course. Man, well, Jimmy, this has been great. It is about time we get out of here. I mean, thanks again for taking the time. Would you like to give out your website again for the people so maybe they can follow up on some of this stuff?
Yeah, well, it's basically www.outlawjimmy.com is me.
Get it while it's still there, people. I did have a great time. The RH Negative Saga is an interesting one indeed. I very much appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself out there, all right?
Okay, man. Cheers, Greg.
Boom. There we have it, guys. I think that one went pretty well. We circled back around to some of the same subjects, but I still liked it a lot. I've been taking more risks with interviewing difficult people or researchers I haven't really heard give interviews before, which definitely has its challenges, but I think it usually turns out awesome with very few whiffs. And it's the uncharted territory that I'm most excited about getting into. I don't want to just churn out the same guests and rehash the same old topics. I want this show to be different and better, honestly, in a time when I think podcasting is getting a little bit worse. I know a lot of you listen to all kinds of different shows, and so you'd know that a lot of these comics and hosts are really compromising their integrity and their art to read LegalZoom and Burger King ads, more at the beginning and the end, and some shows are now putting them in the middle too. So thanks to THC Plus members for keeping me honest and not scrambling for some type of outside revenue so we can just focus on interesting interviews. What really drives me nuts is the shows that do both. They have subscriptions and ads, like Hulu Plus does, and I think that's just super greedy. And as long as we never dip too far below the subscribers we have now, which we shouldn't, we get a couple more every day, we're never going to really have those problems. And THC Plus membership should never go up. I'm never going to make serious changes to the format. I'm never going to be scrambling for more money. You see, these guys, they want to get a manager and a publicist and a marketing team and a social media director. And so it becomes a big corporate entity and they get to be the CEO of Nerdist Industries. Or whatever, and they just need more and more money. But I'm just going to keep doing what we're doing without all that nonsense that you don't really need for a guy, a guest, and a microphone. And unlike that other show who had to cancel their Rhesus Negative episode, nobody is out there telling me what to do. And the only thing I'll do is tell you what happened in the Plus shows just so you know what it contained if you're interested in hearing more. And because I don't split the 2 hours up, sometimes the Plus members are curious where the show would have ended otherwise. And so I like a little recap. It also helps my terrible stoner memory. And in this week's Plus show with Jimmy, we went on to talk about more underground origin possibilities for the Rhesus Negatives, the Smithsonian and the Giants cover-up. You know, we're told a lot of them had red hair. And it's interesting that Rh negatives would have an extra vertebrae or an extra rib, not exactly making them giants, but it is an interesting detail. We talked more about the tribe of Dan and them settling in Ireland, which ties into the Irish lore of underground beings. We talked alien visitation, the elite harvesting Rh negs for blood and organs. If there's only 7% of them and the elite are largely Rh negative, well, they got to have a resource for themselves. We talked about the idea that the Germans had a cloning program after World War I just to have the manpower they did in World War II. Also that Jesus was an Rh negative redhead and survived the crucifixion, and some more interesting stuff that I had never heard, so check it out if you're interested. I also have to thank you guys for answering my call last week for a little boost to THC Plus and Conspiracies. This trip seems like it's going to be good to go. I can't wait to tell you more about it and put together some awesome footage of some ancient sites. It's going to be one of the first real big givebacks to THC Plus, but I do have another one, actually. Lately, a lot of people have been asking me where they can get the closing tracks I've been using for the show, and several of them were actually made for the show, so you can't really get them anywhere. Some of them were just made by listeners, and some I paid for. In fact, I just worked with a musician named Lauren Silva for 3 more cover songs with some lyrical changes to make them about conspiracy and the Higher Side chats. I think they turned out awesome, and I've been doing this more and more because I like it, but also because you can't go playing music you don't have the rights to. I gotta try to rein that in just so we don't have problems down the road. I think a lot of podcasts are kind of doing the same, but these songs I'm talking about, I'm going to put them up on the Plus site to download for free if you're interested in them. The Plus people basically paid for them, and I think they make the show better, and now they're available if you want to listen to them anywhere else other than the end of a 2-hour podcast. Also, a new Crow article is going up today. A lot of people have been following those, and he's doing a great job writing them. You can check that out as well, and that's really it. I did like today's show. The rhesus negative blood type could definitely be a clue to several things, and it was worth getting into. Big thanks to the Outlaw for coming through. I'll be back in a few short days with another interesting topic, to say the least. So take care, guys. Here's one of those songs I worked on with Lauren Silva. Hope you like some of the changes. And that's it from me this week. Your move, Blue Bloods. Your frickin' move.
Have a drink and a smoke. Listen to the cast. We shine a shiny spotlight. Put criminals on blast. The pinstripe men of mourning and families of finance. DuPont, Windsor, and Rothschild. The kids don't stand a chance. The kids don't stand a chance. I said the kids don't stand a chance. We're looking for the answers to questions never asked. So we come to the Cartwood for the higher side chats. The pinstripe men of mourning and families of finance. DuPont, Windsor, and Rothschild. The kids don't stand a chance. The kids don't stand a chance. I said the kids don't stand a chance. Shady business, we try to get a glance. We're working on the numbers. Resistance must advance. The pinstripe men of mourning and families of finance. DuPont, Windsor, and Rothschild. The kids don't stand a chance. The kids don't stand a chance. I said the kids don't stand a chance. The kids don't, The kids don't stand, the kids don't stand a chance. I said the kids don't stand, the kids don't stand a chance.
As you mop up the remnants of your melted mind, consider this. The high-quality, commercial-free show you just enjoyed is what we call THC-free. But you can spend twice as much time with Greg Carlwood and all his great guests by becoming a member of the Higher Side Chats Elite for just $5. And you'll get the five extended two-hour episodes that come out each month. Because an honest, open-minded, and uncensored exploration into the fringe will never be brought to you by your corporate overlords, but rather must be funded by the loyal listeners willing to take that ride. So join at thehiresidechatsplus.com, and on top of twice as much show, get your own easy-to-use RSS feed URL for convenient listening on any device. Suggest guests on your member profile, comb through the archives of all the ones you missed, and continue the conversation even further on the new THC Plus Forum, where you can scratch that higher side itch in between shows with the rest of us and hold your head up high, knowing that your subscription supports a show you love, produces the free version for everyone else, and stands as a small act of rebellion against those nefarious puppet masters of the power pyramid. Treat yourself. It's time.